Starting this new series on blessing blockers. We started about a year and a half ago on biblical prosperity. What does the Bible say about biblical prosperity? Then we went into a series on spiritual warfare and how Satan tries to block the blessings of God. And now we're going to talk about how we get in God's way. And, you know, sometimes we blame God for things that have nothing to do with God. They have to do with us. And so we're going to start a series on blessing blockers and what keeps us from actually obtaining the blessing of God. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, oh my goodness, if I do this, does that mean I'm not a child of God? And I'm going to tell you something that actually happened, and I think it will help you tremendously understand what God wants to do for us and how we get in our own way. Jenna was 16, and she was allowed to drive her car by herself, but she had to be in every night by 9 o'clock. That was the law. And she could not drive past 9 o'clock for the first 6 months. So one night she went to see a friend, and she didn't come home at 9. Well, I said, oh boy, she doesn't know what's wrong. So I said to Harry, I said, all right, I said, this is it. And so she didn't come home, 9:05, she didn't come home. And our neighbor Alan came over, and he was visiting with Harry, and he said, so what's up? And I said, it's 9:05 and Jenna's not home. He was like, ah. Well, about 9:08, she walked in the door, and I was standing at the door, and I said, give me the keys. She said, what? I said, give me the keys. She said, what do you mean? I said, it's 9:08, you're late, you don't get your car for 30 days. She said, Mom. I said, no, it's 9:08, give me the keys. She said, Dad. He said, do what your mother says. He knew not to get in the middle of that. But you see, she lost a very wonderful blessing because she didn't do what she was supposed to do. Now, she was still my child. I still loved her completely. I still took care of her. But she missed out on a wonderful blessing. And you know, you can be a child of God, and you do not have to worry about all of a sudden tripping over a stone and no longer being a child of God. When you stumble, you are still a child of God. But to live a wonderful life full of blessing, you have to do it God's way. And if you decide you're not going to do it God's way, he's like, okay, you have a choice. But understand, God will not break his word to convenience you.
All right.
Now, do you hear me? He is not going to break what he's written down for your convenience.
Amen.
So we do it God's way or we do it our way. And our way says you're on your own. And God's way says, I'll take care of everything that ever troubles you or ever comes up. Plus, I will bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask. That's what Scripture says. Doing it God's way. So, you'll hear people tell you, we're in the day of grace. Our sins aren't counted against us anymore. And you are exactly right. That is an absolute truth. If you are a child of God and you have sinned, you do not all of a sudden not become a child of God. There are ways, Scripture says, that that can happen, but that is not when you sin. Now, that we have established that, the Scripture that says God will not be mocked, What a man sows, he is going to reap, is in the grace book of the Bible. Galatians. The whole first five chapters of Galatians is about grace. And in chapter 6, he says, you're going to reap what you sow. And I can tell you, in the last month, I have learned that lesson big time. And I had to say, okay, I did it wrong. Let me back up. I'm going to do it God's way. And now I'm back where God can use me and bless me in significant ways. We've all been there. We have all gotten in God's way when He has wanted to do great and mighty things in our lives.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk, we're going to get very, very specific here. And we're going to talk about those things that keep God from being able to just pour into our lives. You know, it is not God's will that you walk around broke, hurt, beat up, and sick all the time. That is not anywhere in Scripture where you find that. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches the exact opposite. But we get in God's way, and what we say is, well, it must be God's will because this is happening, and I'm a Christian. Well, I'm going to tell you, just as the car was taken away, you can keep things from coming into your lives that would be just wonderful blessings because you don't do it God's way. And any of you that are parents know very well there are times when you have to lower the boom on your kids and do it God's way in disciplining them, and that does not mean that you do not love them or they're not your children. Okay? Now, having said that as an introduction, we are going to be through the Bible here. We are going to establish some very significant principles that Scripture teaches us, and hopefully we'll apply them to our lives and we'll find out that God wants to do more for us than we can even think or ask. A man was riding down the road and he wasn't paying attention to his speed. He didn't even know that his speed was a problem. And all of a sudden, he looked in his rearview mirror, and here are lights. And he got scared. He became very much afraid. And he thought, what am I going to do? He said, okay, I'm going to outrun this cop. So he stepped on the pedal and he went racing down the highway, and the cop was getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden here came another cop, and finally he said, okay, I can't outrun him, forget this, and he pulled over. The cop came up to the car and he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I was afraid. And he said, afraid? He said, afraid of what? He said, if you can really give me a legitimate reason for racing down the highway away from me when I was chasing you and causing so many problems, he said, I'll let you go. But I can't imagine what you would have to be afraid of. He said, well, listen, officer. A couple years ago, my ex-wife ran away with a cop, and I thought you were bringing him back. The policeman said, go on home. You see, a lot of things make us afraid. And when we become fearful, we do some stupid things. Yes. Have you ever done some stupid things out of fear?
Yeah.
Yes, we get in God's way. So, we're going to talk tonight about the blessing blocker of fear. Fear. Worry, dread, concern. They're all words that we use when we say we're afraid. You know, and the truth is, when we are afraid, we actually challenge the character of God. God will never tell you to do something that you are not capable of doing. And he has told, I'm okay.
Yeah.
He has told us, do not worry. Do not be afraid. Now, that sounds impossible because our natural response is to be afraid, right? Certain things come up, we're going to be afraid. Now, the actual being afraid is not the problem. Staying afraid is.
Yeah.
You see, Satan's going to bring things into your lives that are going to cause you to worry and be afraid. You have one of two choices. You either continue to worry about it and try and fix it yourself, or you turn it over to God. Those are your two choices. But when you say that I am going to hold on to this and fret and worry and carry it around with me for days and days and days, what we are saying is we are more capable of handling this situation than God is.
My Lord.
We actually challenge the very character of God. And this is something that a lot of churches don't want to talk about because they think being afraid is just human. Well, being afraid is just human. But we don't let our emotions control us. Amen?
Amen.
We have an answer for fear. And that answer is Jesus. That answer is Jesus. Now, I want to go to John 1:1. We're going to look at a couple of things, and then you have to decide if indeed this is what you believe. And if it is, then you can't hold on to fear and believe this. You've got a choice. But you know, Satan's going to bring it up to you every time, and all you have to do is say, you know what? Satan, I have a choice to make, and my choice is I'm going to put my faith in what God says.
Amen.
Fear. False evidence appearing real. How many times have you been worried or afraid about something that never even happened? It was false evidence. But it appeared so real to us that we got ourselves all worked up over something that never even happened. We get ourselves caught up in the what ifs of life. Now, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Okay? God and Jesus were there in the beginning, okay? That is who Jesus is. He is the Word. He is the ultimate authority. This is Jesus Christ right here in written form. Okay? Now, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. You probably have this marked in your Bible because we've been here a lot. But this is such a significant verse for us to really remember when fear comes knocking. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us to the glory of God." Look, every promise God made is yes. It isn't maybe. It isn't, well, I'll see. It's yes. And fear does nothing more than challenge the promises of God. That's all fear does, is challenges the promise of God. You can raise your hand, you can tell me what you are afraid of right now, and we as a group can find the answer in Scripture.
Amen.
Everything that you are concerned about, there's a promise for it in Scripture. God covered absolutely everything that you will ever face. And those promises are yes in God. Now, we either put our trust in that promise or we put our trust in how we're going to handle it. You see, faith is trusting. Fear is trusting. You see, fear is a form of faith. It's just trusting in the wrong thing. Okay. When we doubt, which is fear, okay, that fear and doubt, I'm not sure it's going to happen. What if it doesn't happen? Oh my goodness. It blocks our blessing because we're agreeing with Satan. Let's go to James chapter 1. It's toward the back of your Bible. James chapter 1. If you were in Bible study several years ago, we did a study on James. James chapter 1. Okay. James chapter 1. Let's start with verse 5. Okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Let me tell you something, first of all. Most of the time you have fear. If you pray for wisdom, God's going to show you the answer to get rid of that fear. Most of the time when you have fear, if you pray for wisdom, God's going to give you the answer that you need to address that fear. Wisdom handles fear. Wisdom only comes from understanding and knowing God. Okay? But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Now listen, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. You see, how many times have we said, oh, I doubt that, you know, I really want this to happen, but I doubt it'll happen. Oh, that never happens for me. We say it all the time. As Christians, we say it all the time, and God's saying, what are you doing? You know, I'm sure many times he wants to say, will you just shut your big mouth?
Because we're closing that door.
Yeah, you've just closed the door. He's saying, you're exactly right. It never will happen for you if you're going to doubt like that. You can't expect anything from God. You agree with Satan with that. Go to Hebrews, right in front of James is Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 6. Now, if you understand this, you'll never doubt. We're going to look at verse 16, Hebrews 6, 16. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what he promised. If you're an heir of what he promised, raise your hand. Amen. Look, because of that, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Yeah, when you're facing fear, when it looks like something horrible is coming at you, you can stand there and say, God cannot lie. And his promise for me has got to happen because that is the absolute truth of who he is. And having said that, I have high, optimistic, powerful expectation that he is going to do what he said he would do. That's the hope we have. You know what? It's really hard to be afraid when you understand all of this.
Absolutely.
When you understand all of this, it takes fear out of the picture. Go to Exodus 16:20. Fear causes us to hold on to things we should leave. I'm going to tell you, fear will end up getting you so caught up in what you need that you lose sight and focus of who is going to provide it. And you start concentrating on the need. And that's when you start making stupid choices. That's when you start making stupid choices. I need this. And all of a sudden, you take everything into all your own hands. Forget God. You know, God bless me while I go my own way. And that isn't His way at all. Look at Exodus 16, verse 20.